Hello, I'm Chris Lisher, and welcome to Turning of the Wheel, an intelligent, lively discussion on astrology, art, and adventure. Timing is everything, and as the great wheel turns, we are best prepared when we are best informed. Join me as I explore the current planetary alignments and offer insights for coping with change. Educational, informative, enlightening, the Turning of the Wheel is a welcome pause in your daily swirl of constant change. Through intelligent discourse, inspired guests, and educational segments, I will help to enlighten your knowledge of astrology and guide you to accept change as the great wheel of life turns. Call in with your questions and speak with some of the greatest visionaries in the time-tested practice of astrology. Turning of the Wheel, Astrology, Art, and Adventure with Chris Lisher, each Thursday, live, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, on Contact Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to Turning of the Wheel. My name is Chris Lisher. This is a radio talk show about astrology, art, and spiritual adventure. And today we've got a wonderful show. Today I've got one of the true visionaries in the world of astrology coming on as a guest today. He's calling in from Germany, and his name is Michael St. Clair, and he's going to be joining us in a few minutes and speaking with you. He's got some amazing information for you all to partake and listen to. I think it's wise. We listen to what he has to say. It's going to prepare us for what we are about to embrace as the world continues to evolve and expand through this next phase of expansion that we're about to enter into. The world is poised at a time right now, especially with the eclipse tomorrow. Now, tomorrow there's going to be a complete solar eclipse at 10:14, and it's going to be happening all across northern Canada through Greenland and exactly in through the Gobi Desert in China and beyond. And eclipses are always portentous times because they spell a time when the sun's energy is blocked out, and what that does in many cases, in most cases, is that it allows the energy of other planets to come in. They signify enormous changes typically within a period of 6 weeks to a month after each eclipse, and as you know, we've got many, many major things happening in the world with the Olympics coming up, with a huge political election in the United States, the economy going through a terrible roller coaster right now. So this pretends to be a very dramatic time for all of us, and we need to be prepared. As I've always said to you in my shows in the past, is that to be forewarned is to be forearmed. So it's wise that we listen to people such as Michael, who understands what's coming up. He can see the transits, as we all can, and we know what is going to be coming our way. So it was a great honor today to welcome Michael St. Clair to my show, Turning of the Wheel. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Hello, how are you doing, Chris?
Nice
to hear your voice.
Yeah, so we've got a lot of stuff happening with the eclipse tomorrow. We have an enormous amount of events lining up. Well, can you give some examples and some elaborate a little bit about what you see coming up?
Yes, this is a power pack, very rare, with the four planets in Leo. This could become pretty creative or dramatic. I think the first thing we're going to see right tomorrow, because it's a Friday, and I've come out of a lot of economical meetings with investment bankers, etc., we're expecting I'm speaking first now quickly on a three-dimensional plane, practically speaking. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, we're speaking about August 1st, tomorrow, Friday, quickly, the short term. There are these unemployment and payroll reports coming out in the U.S., and also in other countries, some key data is expected to come out around noon, just after the eclipse. And the combination will probably be dramatic, especially given that this eclipse is in Leo, and we will see a lot of swings in prices. I can't say for sure if gold, which is ruled now by this, is going to take a drop or go dramatically up. Either way, we're sort of poised for a lot of things. The oil is definitely, over the next few weeks and months, going to go down by 20, maybe as much as $50 down. This could mean that the OPEC, oil-producing countries, the Arab world, would dump the dollar. This would then lead to a lot of problems on the dollar towards the euro, and then a rush into gold. So gold in the short to mid-term will go up. I think gold will go up beyond 1,030 and towards next year, 1,200 and then up to 1,700. And it will be very interesting to see now if this eclipse pattern is what will switch it all on and ignite. But what's most important in a longer term, to quickly summarize now, in the bigger world, apart from the economy,
right,
I think it is that we see Mars opposite Uranus. I take it we're talking to a lot of astrologically savvy people, so I'm using the jargon. Usually I don't do that. But as you rightly said in your expose, due to the eclipse, it is the other planetary patterns that gain a lot more importance, and the Mars-Uranus opposition lasts in effect from now, tonight, all the way up to about the middle of August, and the hottest moment is on the 6th of August.
Right.
And interestingly enough, Mars is going into the opposition at the same point as Uranus will be, sorry, as Saturn will be in opposition to Uranus on the 4th of November, which is the election night itself.
Yes, this is a very dramatic time. As people may know, that Uranus is the planet of revolution and sudden change, and
yes,
basically generates. And of course, Mars is the planet of action and motive and motion. So you,
yes,
put those two in opposition, we're bound to find some very dramatic events happening over the next couple of days.
Yes, it could also mean actually storms or thunderstorms, bigger storms than we've ever seen, and we'll see that then happening more so towards the 2-week period when the full moon grows in Aquarius.
Mm-hmm.
And this could actually lead to massive earthquakes and storms and tsunamis, maybe, but certainly, the big normal hurricane storms. But to come back to the whole...
Well, you know there was a breaking news that just came out across the ABC News that they discovered water on Mars. They just reported this back, that they've discovered water on Mars.
Oh, yes, well, of course, we know that, of course, in Mars, there's everything, there are bases, there are, you know, still population on the ground. I mean, yes, well, thank you that we now have confirmation of that.
Well,
I think the initiated crowd knows that, yes, definitely, we have water on Mars, yes.
Yes, I think that's big news. I think that it's significant, and, you know, that,
yes,
at this particular time, with this planetary opposition, I think people need to be aware of the fact that, you know, the energy is at stake here is this sort of sudden motion, the sudden change. And this, I think, points very clearly at the earthquakes, especially, I would think.
Yes, absolutely. We have to be very careful about that. And it's happening everywhere. Like I said, the orb has started a few days ago, and it will be lasting for at least, I'd say, 2 to 3 weeks. But to come back to Saturn, you see, what is very, very interesting as a photo finish of this eclipse, which will be the photo, as you rightly said, for 6 weeks to actually 6 months as a shadow of the eclipse,
mm-hmm,
is that when you look at the rest of it, Saturn will be in opposition to Uranus on the 4th of November in exactly the degrees that Mars is now moving through. In other words, Mars acts as a trailer in a movie, like as a translation planet, which shows us what's going to happen.
Right.
And if we look at it carefully, really carefully in esoteric sense, and then look a little bit at the reality mirrored by these planetary pictures, it would actually mean on the 4th of November, due to the Capricorn moon that night that highlights Saturn and Capricorn and Pluto coming into Capricorn and Jupiter in Capricorn, more so than the utopian Uranus, it would actually mean, believe it or not, I think, that the older candidate, McCain, would actually be favored in astrological terms over the change candidate, Obama, the younger one, who would...
Right.
Be seen as Uranus, so I'm not predicting McCain will be president, but it looks like, astrologically speaking, if we look carefully at the picture of the translation with Mars and the Virgo planets of McCain by birth and also into the chart of Obama, it actually looks as if McCain, oddly enough, would have the better chances, astrologically speaking, for what that's worth, you know?
Yeah, I certainly seem to think that that is very possible. And I think that with the alignments that we have with the planets, with Mars and Uranus, and as you spoke very eloquently about Saturn and the opposition, and Pluto, of course, moving into Capricorn, anytime a significant planet such as Pluto moves into a sensitive degree of a cardinal sign, we're going to have some action, especially with Capricorn being an Earth-based sign and one of large governments. We could see several large organizations in turmoil, and as a result of that sort of turmoil that comes about as a result of that transit, I could easily see some sort of a situation that promotes McCain's position to be better because of his elderly, because he's an elder, and because he has military background. So what I'm saying is that there could be some sort of an attack someplace that people begin to worry about. As a result of that attack, they then want to throw their votes behind him.
Well, that is very, very well summarized, and the facts are that there is an ongoing special forces operation. I mean, I have other sources apart from astrology. There is something going on in Pakistan, and it is slated to blow the whole situation up by 2011, at the latest in January 11 or end of 2010. That's the game plan that I'm aware of so far, and they're following it so far to the dot, although people don't know. But to come back to the utopian concept of Uranus on the one hand and Saturn and the reality on the other, as you know, this whole aspect of the opposition lasts for a long time. It begins right now and lasts for about 2.5 years. And as you said, Pluto goes into the anchor, making the T-square in Capricorn. And so, yes, we do have to expect changes on all the big issues worldwide. If you look at the chart, interestingly enough, the birth chart of the Federal Reserve, 1913, mm-hmm. you will notice that Pluto takes a position into the chart of the Federal Reserve, which can be translated easily as that the Federal Reserve may actually be, well, if not dissolved, totally revamped and completely overhauled into a new system.
I think it would have to be, given the amount of pressure that it's been under lately and with the mounting debt that has happened, that has occurred across the banking system. I think that there's no way that they can bail everybody out. And as a result, they will become stressed. And all the safety checks that were put in place back during the first depression in 1929 are not going to withhold the amount of stress that is being placed on the banking system at this point.
Yeah, no, it's impossible.
Yeah, and a large part of that's driven by the cost of oil. The ripple effect of the cost of oil has been enormous because there's not a single product on the face of the planet that is not impacted in some way by the presence of oil. So as a result of that, the ripple effect of everything going up is a huge shift of power and of stability and making the whole market very instable. Now, you mentioned that oil is going to go down in price, you think?
Yes, you're absolutely right. So far, what you said, you're correct. When you look at the oil, you have to look at Neptune, as you know, and the translation phase for Neptune is over. And really, I mean, if you follow financial astrology carefully, you would have to see that most probably the oil is going to drop down, not maybe overnight, but gradually. It already dropped $25 in the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. It will drop probably up to another $50. And this will impact the whole oil-producing world, the Arab world, the OPEC, and they will then, if not shift into the euro, for sure dump all the dollars, which will create a domino effect onto the dollar, the Federal Reserve, and then everything that we just said in these first few minutes is going to grip into effect, and this will lead to an extremely fast rising gold price and to all the problems, which is why they are preparing these created wars. Unfortunately, these are just facts we need to see as a more probable reality than any other reality. I don't like to take people through these dark scenarios, but this is pretty much what we have sort of calculated as most probable. And so to finish about the Federal Reserve, it is clear that with these over-the-counter, the derivative market is so ready to explode that there is going to be not one domino standing. Practically no bank will be solvent. Already now they're insolvent, meaning bankrupt, really technically speaking bankrupt. And the Federal Reserve cannot take all these banks under its umbrella. That's an illusion, and that's this whole Neptunian subject now with Venus across it, all these Leo planets across. All of these subjects will pan out now within a few days. We'll have a preview, a short, like a trailer of 5 minutes of a two-year movie.
Exactly.
We'll have a two-hour movie of 2 years coming up, and we're going to see a five-day, five-minute blip trailer of all these subjects. And within about 1 to 2 weeks, we'll have a fair idea where it's going to go off, you know?
It'll be a very good preview of what's to come. Neptune is the planet of illusion and disillusion, and it creates a sense of false security. It creates a sense of not seeing clearly where we really are. So people may be buoyed by the fact. They may think, oh, good, oil prices are dropping, so therefore we're out of the tough times. That is really the exact opposite of what will happen, and that's the power of what Neptune does. Neptune gives us that illusion quality that makes us think that we're better off than we really are. We're not seeing things clearly through the lens of Neptune because of that. And this is what I think you're alluding to.
That's right, and also you have, because we always have to see everything, of course, in tandem at the same time. We can go on looking at things. You have Chiron on the North Node, which is really a beautiful thing. I mean, that therein lies hope for humanity. We have this moment where one looks at the future of the healers, the teachers, the people who have a view for the bigger picture, and there is something positive to see. But the oil price scenario that you and I just discussed, that will lead actually to the contrary, and that's all planned. You understand, all of these moves are, of course, carefully orchestrated and planned by the internationalist powers who are trying to bring together a one-world-type control order. And if you look carefully at the positions of all of the planets, Neptune as well, then you will actually see what will pan out, say, in 1 year to 4 years. And when you calculate backwards, it's quite easy actually to show how the chess moves are played. I mean, there's one rumor, for instance, a typical Neptunian rumor. We're not sure whether it's true or not, but there's this guy, Lindsay Williams, who is saying that there is a huge oil reserve in Alaska and north of Russia, and that they will make this public, that it was hidden for 20 or 30 years or more, the fact that there is this oil reserve and that therefore there's no peak oil, etc. I don't know if it's true, okay? I have to say I'm not sure. It contradicts everything else that we have going on. But that is just to illustrate what you're saying about Neptune. You have all sorts of rumors, lies, half-lies, stories being told, and you don't really know what you can believe or not.
But, you know, we've been operating in this country especially on a meal ticket that's long overdue, and we have sort of been gliding along on credit, and the credit institutions have been handing out credit forever, and it has been under the guise at the time was to sort of stimulate the economy. If you give people money, they will go out and spend, they'll buy TVs and microwaves and all this stuff, which has been true, but what the problem is there's nothing to back it up in the long run, and as the cost of oil and everyday living has risen over the course of the time here, people no longer are able to pay for those bills, which are now long overdue. So with this correction that we're, you know, that we seem to be enduring is really long overdue, and actually, you know, really what we sort of put our, we sort of the corner we painted ourselves into.
Yes, that's right, and it's not just a short correction. This is really the end of the system as we had it, and it's not going to be pretty for a while, but the transition period, we're talking about really something about 10, 12 years. We're looking really at 2020. I don't like the 2012 date much. That's so over-talked. But
right.
The date where something really new begins is 2020, when Saturn, Pluto go into the same spot at the end of Capricorn, and then 2-3 years later they leave together into Aquarius. So the really new moment when some new theme, completely new deck of cards is being dealt with is really in 12 years. So what I'm saying, to be blunt, to be simple, is that we're looking now at a 12-year of huge transition of all of the subjects, of everything, economy, ecology, the way we live, the way alliances are made, worldwide politics, I mean, just everything. And this is why, to come to more, you know, to a positive way of solutions, we have to think about what we're going to do and how we prepare. For those who are listening, this is a time where we can find solutions and do something about it.
Right.
We have to know what we're going to face, and we have to know it's not a year or 2 years. We're looking at 10, 12, 15 years.
Yeah, and I've always told the people is that, you know, hard angles and hard aspects in astrology charts are not necessarily bad. They are considered to be stress points, absolutely hard. You know, squares and oppositions are considered to be what we call stress points, but stress is not necessarily a bad concept. Stress is a motivating concept that allows us to get things done. And without without those hard angles, motion would not happen, action would not be done, would not be achieved. And so these are necessary transits that are there, that are all part of the cycle of life.
These
same cycles then will, of course, ease off and abate afterwards, and the forward motion is achieved because we had to make action. It's just like having to get to that train on time, as I always use the example. You know, we've got to get to the train. The train leaves at 6:15. You get there at 6:17, you've missed the train. So you have to rush to get to that train as we are now. That's what I call stress. So it's a positive motion, and if you approach it with a sense of optimism and positiveness, there is no fear, and we work with our divine knowledge of what we know and can reap from this and turn this into a positive experience where we learn the most, I think, is what's important.
That's right. What you said is absolutely correct. We can actually do something very positive out of all of this, knowing what's about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
There is just one side of the story where we don't have enough knowledge, and that's the part related to climate changes, weather changes. That is so unpredictable, really. All we know is that we're certainly in for 2 to 6, 7 years of very, very rough types of weather changes that can mean anything. And that is why we have to prepare almost kind of at a ground level, also economically. We have to just be wise about how we reorganize our lives and how we relive in smaller communities where you can trust friends in the neighborhood, etc. But the rest of what you said is absolutely correct. It's actually a positive thing that these changes are happening fast.
Well, you know, I think that when you mentioned the term utopian, to me that rings of a greater, deeper sense of community, so that whereby in this country especially, we have become very diverse and we've become very sort of removed from each other. We've sort of pushed away from each other. We have tend to live in large, sprawling houses in, you know, far away from our neighbors without knowing our neighbors. These are the sort of the trends that have happened over the past few years. I think what the world is forcing us to do is to say, to reunite on a sense of community, build community, and reunite and work with your mutual resources so that you can join forces together and help promote that sense of community and involvement, which is sorely lacking in some areas. Now, granted, there are many areas of where community is strong, but I think that, that overall, people have become incredibly isolated, and as a result of this isolation, I think that there has been a sense of loneliness, a sense of lack of identity with regard to what humanity and what it means to be a human, and we need to get closer to each other again to rebuild that. I think that's a very valid aspect of what we could see here. So I think if prices do go up and we can't afford to live by ourselves anymore, we sort of join forces with our neighbors and we work on a community level.
That's right. We have to now go into, with the Pisces and Aquarian planets, more and more Pisces planets, by the way, coming in. We are going to live more in a tribal type of lifestyle.
Absolutely, yes.
Small communities, solar energy, wind energy, water that we are in control of, decentralized, etc. Yes, that's all good. And that will actually lead the innovators to create little innovation centers, small villages, small tribes all across the world that can, via new internet, via telepathy, correspond, do barter economies, etc. So things will, over time, only get better, but it will take a whole new approach to the whole thing.
And this is really what we are designed to do. I mean, we are animals. We see other animals. They travel in groups. They travel in packs. They stay with themselves. We, because of our intelligence, have sort of broken that basic natural law and have pushed ourselves further apart when we really need to be closer together. I think this is what's going to be one of the more positive outcomes of this change that we see.
This is right.
And there's something very good about that. I think it's very encouraging for people to understand that, that there is hope here, and we want to. I think it's important that people understand that. But no change comes easily, as we know, regardless of what that may be. And the reason people fear change is because it's the unknown. But the unknown can hold great promise, and I think that's what's important for people to understand, that that there is great promise there, but we do have to pay the dues, and our dues are overdue, literally.
That is right. That is so well said. Of course, we all come from the unknown, and we go back to the unknown. We have to work with the unknowable, and in there lies the chance. That is exactly right. And the innovation will come. I know of many people who are way beyond what we're talking about now. They know this, and they're actually preparing in a sense of innovating, finding solutions, starting up little villages, doing their solar energies, looking after their own water, bringing together people from different tribes, from different expertise, healers, teachers, permaculture experts, etc., and then form their own little groups that together then can actually, you know, live, function, and do some peaceful, productive life together.
Right. So we're beginning to feel the effects of this as we speak, and this is sort of the idea of necessity is the mother of invention. As we find ourselves in these tough angles and these tough aspects that are coming forward, we will see people begin to move, and this is when they will begin to move. These are the stress points I'm talking about. It's sort of like a giant, you know, pair of vice grips coming and squeezing and forcing that motion, and that motion will be forced like hydraulic hoses to move society and humanity forward. Now, we're going to take a break in a few minutes, but not just yet. But I do want to get back to the conversation of the other world possibilities that we might have. So put that in the back of your head, and I want people to stay tuned because we are going to talk about that in a few minutes as well. But this concept that we have to prepare ourselves. So I think that in this summary, what can people best do to get themselves prepared for what we see coming up? What, in your opinion?
In my opinion, it is that people need to, first of all, look into their neighbors, into their friends, the trusted people, that each one has a small group of trusted friends, 2 to 4 or 5, a handful of friends they can really rely on that are in walking distance, ideally, or set up a place they go together to set something up. So the preparation is, first of all, look around. Who would you want to do something new with together? Because that's, you're going to need people who are somewhat on the same page with a common understanding, not necessarily of a group mind, I mean, but who see what this is about. And then together, in a small group, one is able to formulate a small game plan and go enact that together. And then comes resourcing, getting the resources ready, get out of the markets, get your metals, gold, silver, and go for it. Buy some land and get ready, get organized. I think those are the concrete first few steps of a very wise preparation.
Yeah, and I think that you'll seek people out naturally who are very practical, who make your alliances the most logical. You want to have logical alliances. You want to have people that you can associate with, that you get along with, and are like-minded, as you said. And I think this will happen as a natural. There will be people who will not subscribe to this, who will turn their blind eye to it, and unfortunately, they will have to find out the hardest way. But I think that it's wise information we're putting out here, because if we are forewarned for this activity, then we can be forearmed. It's sort of like when the judo, you know, it's like that motion that happens with judo. When that action is coming towards you, when you see the energy coming towards you, you want to harness that energy and use that as a way of creating your better, your better defense.
Yes.
In that regard. So it's very vital that we look at these transits as something that's of significant impact, especially with some enormous changes happening. We don't know what could possibly happen at the Olympics, but we certainly know that China is a hotbed of political unrest right now that is sort of just bubbling under.
Yes, I don't think there will be anything bad happening. That's in the fear-type department, but I believe that something very good will come out of China in the long run, because they, too, are ruled by the same aspects like the whole rest of the planet, and there is a large groundswell underground so-called spiritual movement, Falun Gong, Falun Dafa, etc. I mean, real Taoist applied movements, and they will surge, and a lot will happen that will bring China apart, and China will have to come into this whole new millennium in a different way.
That's fantastic. My guest, you're listening to Turning of the Wheel. My guest today is Michael St. Clair. He's calling from Germany. He's a profound visionary with a wonderful sense of what it takes to get, to use astrology. He's written several books, one of which is called The Zen of Stars, and also a new book out called Light Seeds. His website is www.light-seeds.com, correct?
Yes, light-seeds.com.
And that's a very valuable place to look, and you can purchase his book there. I just purchased Zen of Stars the other day, and it's a fascinating book. He's very widely regarded in his field. And we come back after the next quick break. We're going to be discussing an unusual aspect of what we might see coming forward with regard to aliens and perhaps what else we are going to be seeing on the horizon. So just stay tuned. We'll be back in about 2 minutes after a few quick commercials, and we're going to continue our really cool conversation. So stay tuned.
What is your destiny? Where are you going? What is your real purpose? Do you know? Do you want to know? Of course you do. It's your duty to yourself. We are all here for a reason, and we all have great potential. Discover all of this and more with a professional astrology reading. My name is Chris Fleischer, and I can help you. Discover your strengths and work on your weaknesses, and live your life to its fullest capacity. Based on your birthday, birthplace, and birth time, an authentic astrology reading will allow you to live your life to the fullest and reveal your true purpose. Only real astrology can give you real information. It is your destiny, and it is your path. Write me at chris@chrisfleischer.com and book a reading today. Or call me, 978-264-0668. That's 978-264-0668. www.chrisfleischer.com.
This is ContactTalkRadio.com. Consciousness in action.
As the world shrinks and our barriers come down, diverse cultures are striving for harmony, balance, and peace. To ease the transition, we need to expand with color, light, and tolerance. Now, you can become a global citizen and embrace the color and clear spirit with the divine artwork of the mandala. Mandalas are a timeless artistic offering for creating unity, harmony, and peace. My name is Chris Fleischer, and I've spent years creating mandalas, and they are now available online at www.chrisfleischer.com. Come and experience the world of color, form, and function with t-shirts, coffee mugs, note cards, and limited edition prints. These vibrant, lively paintings and products express optimism, oneness, and spiritual balance for all who use them. At www.chrisfleischer.com, www.chrisfleischer.com, and enter a world of possibility and color.
Hello, this is James Arthur Ray, and you are listening to the best network online, Contact Talk Radio.
Okay, everyone, welcome back to Turning of the Wheel. My guest today is Michael St. Clair. He is a visionary astrologer out of Germany, and he's loaded with great information, especially with regard to the economy, which is we've been talking about over the last half hour here. He has a website. It's lightseeds.com, and light is separated by a dash, so it's light-seeds.com. And you can purchase his book there, which is called The Zen of Stars and Light Seeds, which provides enormous insight into the way the world is going to be shaped over the next several years, going up into the year 2020. When we have major, major transits and a lot of energy happening, what we're going to be seeing in over the next few years and beyond is a lot of major planets entering into the early degrees of cardinal signs. Anytime planets transit a sensitive degree, which is 0 degrees Aries, 0 degrees Cancer, 0 degrees Libra, and Capricorn, cardinal signs on the grand angles there, we're going to see significant activity. Cardinal signs are signs that initiate. They are the ones that begin things. So we're looking for new beginnings, and it's a time of great promise, and we need to approach it with optimism and hope so that we can move our societies and mankind forward. Now, what we're going to talk about next is some very interesting stuff that has come in the news as of recently. There's been a couple of astronauts who have come forward with very profound statements as to the existence of extraterrestrial beings and their impact on the Earth. And Michael is very well versed in this topic, and so we're going to begin to talk a little bit about this now and what you have seen there. What have you seen, Michael, specifically that we can point to that sort of allows us to understand this information?
Well, you see, we have to understand that we have known this for thousands of years. We come from the unknown, and we're going to go back into the void. And we have always been surrounded by what I would call the invisible world, the fourth, the fifth, and more dimensions. Those are facts. The astronaut that I had talked to in 2001, I interviewed him in preparation of my book, was Dr. Ed Mitchell. I wasn't allowed to say what we talked about because, you know, certain things, they're being said verbally and then you keep it. But basically he pointed me to other sources. He has now, a few days ago, for the first time, quite clearly said to a British journalist that we have been visited, we are being visited, and that he knows about the entire cover-up that lasted for over 60 years in the U.S. There are other countries who are opening their files in Brazil, in France, even in England now, in many countries, too many to mention. This will all come out. But what all these people are pointing to mainly, except one who is not an astronaut, really, he was the, one could call him a ground crew astronaut, that's Clark McClelland, was a space shuttle operator. Most of these people talk about the contact that the governments of all the world have with the greys, or the clones. I call them the clones. That's a sub-race. But we have contacts with other extraterrestrials, such as the Nordics, the Pleiadians, the Andromedans, highly developed races that come from the future to us, to talk to us. And they are humanoids all. Highly evolved, spiritually highly evolved, also technologically, but they are not warlike, unlike the greys and the reptilians. And they are trying to tell us to become part of this whole interplanetary community. The Nordics have tried for at least 60 years that we know to create deals with governments in order to clean up the planet, to switch away from oil into clean energies, but they were turned down all the time. And so the Nordics withdrew their presence and are observing the whole thing. They cannot interfere into what we're doing here. And the Greys have taken a very deceptive upper hand. That's a short summary. Okay, so this has been going on for a very long time, hundreds of years. The Gnostics have pointed to this, the native tribes, the native people all knew about all this.
Now, why would they suppress this information, do you think?
Well, I think the simplest answer is because they are, to some degree, aligned, associated with the greys and the reptilians, and because over generations and generations, at least 60 years that we know for sure about it, but maybe much more, there have been hybridization programs, in other words, the splicing of genetics going on, and because basically the greys have their own human greys, human reptilians in the governments, in the corporations, etc. So you have people who are walking around, who on the face of it look human, but their genetics are really anything but human. That's why.
That's fascinating. That's interesting. I mean, I can easily see that, because then, of course, they would have access to this sort of power, and they could easily control the information flow.
Well, the technological transfer programs have been going on for a very long time, for at least, I mean, the first thing that we know of is 1947 with the crash of Roswell. We even know it does exist. But when that came out, you have to understand it went on long before in Germany in the 30s and probably way before. So these we need to take a step back and understand, bluntly speaking, now this is not the astronauts thing, that's me and my research, that we are all extraterrestrials to some degree, and that this whole planet is basically a nursery for many races. It was decided in outer space a long, long time ago that they would try to put the races who were at war onto one place and try to have them figure out how they could get on with each other. And so here we have all these gung-ho races who have difficulties actually getting on. That's why we have these wars. If we could manage to do what they're doing in other planets among their species, then we could actually move overnight to a very peaceful coexistence on this Earth, and then be allowed off Earth to join the highly developed cultures that there are.
Yes,
I'm giving you like sound bites, but I mean in my 600-page book in Lightseeds and in Foreseen, which is part of Lightseeds, it is explained in much more great detail, and I have had my own contacts with benevolent races, and a lot of the stuff I'm telling you has been explained to me, and the astronauts have been explained their part of the story. Of course, from their viewpoint and through their own expertise, there are many others that have come out and spoken about it to Project Camelot, such as John Lear, Dr. Dan Burish, who interacted with both races, the microbiologist. I mean, one has to look at ProjectCamelot.net, look at all the videos, take in what all these witnesses are saying, then piece it all together. There is a huge amount of information available.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic to think about what we are in for. And I think that the potential here is enormous if we allow. And one of the things I've always sort of tried to promote was the concept of being open to possibilities. And I think that if people truly open their mind and think that anything is possible, if they can grasp that as a concept and work with it in a positive manner, they can really move mountains. I mean, it's a matter of will and intention. And being able to channel that information and energy in a positive manner is going to be very, very constructive for the evolution of the planet and for the evolution of mankind in general.
That's right. We have to, in a way, gaze directly into the eye of light, which is the pineal gland, where all the wisdom is stored. So all these answers are lying within ourselves. That's within our DNA genetics, and we have to remember who we are, where we came from, and that we are actually part of this whole interplanetary high race culture.
Yeah,
so like I said, the genetics were broken down, taken apart by the reptilians over thousands of years, but we were able to live 800, 900 years. The fact that we now live only 80, 90 years is sort of a mistake. It's gone kind of wrong. And we can piece this back together again over, maybe actually over the next 20 to 40 years. The technology is here. There is a website, another website I like to point to often by a colleague. His name is James, and his site is called wingmakers.com. And it's interesting maybe to read the first four interviews with Dr. Neruda that goes into all of these subjects from his viewpoint. And this is a way the reader can piece together.
Right.
The listeners can actually get a picture of the whole larger concept that we're talking about here. We need to know we're not alone, and we're surrounded by what I call the invisible world, because they are to some degree invisible, but they will become more and more visible around us over the next 10 to 20 years. So we have to be prepared to be face-to-face in contact with benevolent forces.
Now, what was the name of that website one more time?
Wingmakers.com.
Okay, windmakers.com.
Wingmakers.
Yeah, windmakers. Okay. And that's a valuable site for people to look into. And also Michael's site is, I'm speaking with Michael St. Clair. He's an author and an astrological visionary with regard to especially financial issues as his specialty. But he's written two wonderful books, one called Light Seeds and the other is called Zen of Stars. And we are speaking about many different things today, especially, though, about what we're going to be witnessing in the next few months and even in the next 10 to 20 years and beyond, 10, 12 years and beyond, with regard to the way the planet shifts its motion and its physical being. It's not only physically the planet will be changing, but also the way we as human beings will interact with each other and move forward in that into that light. Now, many people have spoken about the year 2012 simply because of the dynamics of the Mayan calendar and everything else, but astrologically, that date doesn't really seem to do much for a lot of us that look at the aspects, because there's things happening there, but it's not that date is anything particular. How do you respond to that?
Yes, actually, I like the 2012 transition. It's actually a beautiful dynamic there with the finger of God, the yod alignment, the 150 degrees, etc. I think the most, let's say, dramatic moments are going to be middle end of 2010, in 2 years, beginning now, and into the middle of 2011. That's the first really very rough phase, probably to do with weather changes, climate changes, rising sea levels, storms, quakes, etc. And then again, between 2014-17, that's another very, very hot moment of about 4 years where things get really tough. That's why I'm saying we're really looking at 8 to 10 years of a dramatic transformation for which we have to be ready at a ground level, for which we have to prepare mentally, spiritually, if that's a word that we can use. We have to prepare to know, in a sense, what it's about, what is coming ahead, what is the landscape we're engaging into. And in that sense, I'm saying we should listen to guiding forces inside of us and outside, because we are going to come in touch with a lot more beings and higher forces than we could imagine. They are right around us, looking at us, listening to us, and we need to take help and guiding hand and know where we're headed to, what we're going to do. It gets better than between 2020 and 2025. That's sort of when we leave what one could call the winter of the 21st century, when we go into the spring, when really the alignments get nicer. We go into a more Aquarian time, truly Aquarian time. And so I'm saying this is why we can fairly say 12 years now, from now, between now and 2020, we look at 12 years of sharp transformation, some of them very fast overnight.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, with the eclipse coming up, I'd like to just elaborate a little bit more on that if we could, so people can understand and work towards the energy at that time with either a sense of ritual or with a sense of optimism so that they feel comfortable with, you know, the energy of the eclipse. The eclipse is a marvelous time because it's a new moon as well, so it's a wonderful time to meditate on the idea of setting your intention in a good direction. And the new moon is especially valuable because that's the time when you plant new seeds. And so if you plant new seeds, either spiritually, metaphorically, or even physically, they will come to fruition if you have planted them with good intention. And I think that's important that people allow this time and use the energy in a way that is best serves themselves and their community. Now, what would you suggest, Michael, that people do at a time like this?
At this moment, what you just said, that is a moment to take a quick break, meditate or be quiet, still go for a walk in the woods, be in the nature, look at the stars at night, be connected to it after sunset. You can actually see a little bit what's going on. You can see some planetary movements, listen to the forces around you, inside of you, your guidance, and yes, what you said is correct. Set the intent. Have a great deal of focus now in the next few days ahead. It's all about focus, about determination, and even write down a game plan if you have to, and really set goals. Work very practically and goal-orientated now. It's not esoteric, you know. These things are very practical now. We need to move to the next, say, 6 to 25 weeks. Let's say that the rest of this year in a very practical manner, and come September already, we are going to experience a more peaceful moment, a more cooperative moment when we have a lot of planets in Libra. So right now is a moment to take a break, focus, set intent, set goals, and look forward to 60 days to come into cooperation with others.
And one of the things that I always suggest to people when they come to me is that if you take these times and you look at them as very opportunistic times to set the intention, and I think the best way to set intention is to actually physically do that. And I think that the actual organic act of taking a pen in your hand and writing on paper is enormously powerful, because it actually connects your spirit and your soul with the paper, and you actually have a flow of energy coming through your arm down to the paper, and therefore it is, becomes a reality. So you want to set your intention in very positive ways about this time as a plant, a time to plant seeds of change, of positive, constructive change for yourself, then preparing yourself for a better time to come. This is very valuable at the new moon, and it's especially powerful with the eclipse. You know, when you think about an eclipse, what a remarkable phenomenon it is that the moon perfectly is the exact size of the sun when it transits in front of it. I mean, just think about that concept alone, that it covers up that thing, and yet the sun is enormous and it's so far away, and yet the angle of that earth, of our earth and the moon is in exact alignment so that it covers that disk of the sun completely. And when that happens, the energy of the sun has been abated and downed, and the other planets have the ability to sort of give their energy much more forcefully. So therefore, we want to look for planets in our charts, which you can do through a professional astrology reading through Michael St. Clair or myself. Michael, you do give readings, don't you?
Yes, I give consultations. I write astrological reports and vocational
right.
And financial.
And you can get to Michael through his website at www.light-seeds.com. That's light-seeds.com. And his email contacts are there, and you can get in touch with him there, or you can contact me at www.chrisflisher.com, and we can also set you up with that. What you would be looking for in your chart is significant aspects that are going to be significant for you and for your plans. If you have, and of course, your house placements are going to be very valuable to know as well, so that you can be best prepared for what we can see coming up, and you know, offer you some sort of game plan as to how to approach you know, the coming transits, and what we will be expecting over the next couple, you know, 10 to 12 years are very valuable. Because if you plant those seeds and make those plans now, you will be protecting yourself from, you know, and preparing yourself for what is to come down the road in a very positive manner. Now, Michael, when you talk about the Fed, we had touched upon this earlier. The Federal Reserve is a huge organization that was put in place to sort of protect the financial institutions in the event of a run on the financial markets or anything else. Do you see that sort of thing happening, a run on the financial institutions, people sort of getting into a state where they say, well, I want to have my cash under my pillow, and they don't want to have it tied up because it's losing so much? Do you see that sort of thing happening?
Well, yes, it has started to happen already, but you see the Federal Reserve is really a group of private bankers and foreign bankers at that, so it's not even ruled inside of the U.S. So you are literally speaking in foreign hands as is. And, well, yes and no, there is a silent run going on in the sense of people are wiring funds out. There are quite a lot of citizens in the U.S. who are understanding what's going on then, and they are choosing, given what they know, to either leave the U.S. or actually move their funds or some of their assets out. They're trying to sell because they're looking at 10, 12 years of a situation in the U.S. where, I don't want to become political, but where they are seeing that their liberties could be so curtailed that they're choosing to go live someplace else. So yes, there is in that sense a run going on, but the Federal Reserve and the authorities will be able to clamp down on that. So it will not happen in a way it happened in 29. It's just going to be an over time gradual process of a complete disintegration of the entire economy. And the paper, the dollar itself, has lost over the 95 years since the Federal Reserve exists, literally 95%. So give it five more years and it's zero. So the paper is worthless. Mm-hmm. And therefore it creates a corner on gold. And therefore I've been saying to my clients and in public that gold, because gold will go up almost double, maybe more than double in 2 years, it's a wise move to go into possession of physical gold if when you can.
Yeah.
And that's what a number of people are now doing. So, and speaking now of the moon, you know, the spaceship moon, the beautiful thing that was pulled into position here, and the sun and Mercury as well at the same point, bartering, and Venus. So you have all these four planets in Leo, which rules gold in a way. So this is a big week for gold, for buying into gold, for doing something about it. And as you were saying, you have to set the intent and then actually do it. Just go about doing it, the pen on the paper, and then act on it. I like the word action without thought. Just see what's coming and do what's right.
Right. Open up that channel, that conduit inside of you, and let that energy and those words flow. And then as they appear on the paper, they take on a new light, because what happens is that they become tangible, they become real, and thought turns into action very quickly there, and you can actually see your thoughts. Now, we're talking about trying to, you know, move forward here, being best informed as we possibly can with this knowledge that we have from experts like Michael, and allow ourselves to expand with that knowledge and to be prepared for what the future might bring. And, you know, this is not, we're not trying to, you know, incite panic here. We're not trying to do anything like that. We're simply trying to let people understand and know that, you know, change is afoot, as we can well see. And, you know, we have been living a very nice lifestyle for quite some time. And it almost, you know, if you ever had thoughts about your credit card debt, or you were ever wondering, like, well, why is it that there's so many stores in this country, and why is it that people only seem to shop all the time? Their focus has really been very misguided because of the fact that they are consumers, and the credit has been readily available, which has fueled this consumerism and made it very visible. And instead of reaching out to community, which is really where we need to put our intention, is into community and other people, rather than trying to find thrills in new cars or things like that. Now, you know, we all love consumerism, but, you know, it does reach a point where it doesn't work any longer.
Yes, you're right. And, you know, the investment has to go now towards simple things like tools, bicycles, generators, things that are going to become valuable when the whole logistics, electricity, etc., power, grocery stores, etc., etc., when everything starts breaking down, power outages are possible too during the summer. So you want to actually invest into tools. Tools are going to become maybe the most valuable investment of all. And to finish answering your Federal Reserve question, you just have to look at the chart of the Federal Reserve and look at where Pluto goes in during 2009, 10, 11, and those are the 2 years in which I'm saying that the Federal Reserve is just either not going to exist, be dissolved, or be replaced by something else, and that something else, in my opinion, is going to be the large market of Canada, U.S., and Mexico in one, which that's not going to be necessarily good for everybody. But that's the next reality coming up, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of a binding of our agreement of our mutual resources, you know, sort of combining resources, you know. And that sort of speaks to the idea of community as well. You know, when you think about that, we have all these borders. Borders are there, and they certainly seem sort of silly when you look at the planet from afar. I think that the astronauts get a very good view of that, because they look down and they see this planet from looking down from the moon or from the spaceship, and they don't see the borders because the borders do not exist. These are man-made borders, which really don't serve the end of the purpose. Our only real border is the edge of the planet. And if you want to think about it, I mean, even that is an arbitrary space. But, you know, as human beings occupying this big, beautiful ball floating through space, there are no borders. And the borders need to come down, I think. And I think once they do, we can begin to move forward much much faster, and with a sense of mutual consent and mutual benefit, which will help us all. We are members of
the planet. I agree with you. I totally agree with you. The borders are artificial, need to come down. They will come down. Borders will be totally irrelevant, because we will actually be united via Earth changes and climactic changes so large that we'll soon learn to get on with each other. You're quite right.
Right, exactly. We will do it out of necessity. And now, you remember in the old days, you know, when I was a kid, but I remember watching several movies. I forget some of them, but the image of it is more valuable than the actual name of the movie. Of, you know, being attacked by aliens, and all of a sudden people from all over the world are ganging together and binding together to be sort of, you know, citizens of the same planet, and in their quest for, you know, survival. Now, that's a dramatic example of what this is all about, but the idea is that if we, you know, this was a good example of what happened in China recently with the huge earthquake they had there. They reached out to one of their oldest enemies in Japan for the first time, entered in across the border of China, and helped them with their earthquake disaster and earthquake recovery. These are the sort of things that I think that Michael's alluding to.
Yes, you're right about that. Only that earthquake was definitely induced with a scalar-type weapon. One could see the sky 10 minutes before taking on these colorings, and these things were happening, which were clearly indicative of an artificial impact. But you're right about what you said, except one thing I can pretty much assure you: we will not have an actual alien attack. We may have a fake alien attack where they will pretend that there are aliens attacking, but in reality no one wants to attack us. The point is that we together will create a better existence. But this has to begin by each one, by himself, by herself, changing the genetics from inside.
Right. And you sort of need that outside interference, for lack of a better word, in order to get us to move. That's what I would call a stress point. It's a point of action where we have an initiative, we have an impetus. And these sort of these initiatives and impetuses happen when we have significant planets at early degrees of cardinal signs, which is what we see approaching over the next couple of years. This is what we're alluding to. This is what we're talking about. This is fact, that these planets, Uranus and Jupiter, are going to be at 0 degrees Aries in 2010.
And that's going to be July, August.
Yeah, July, August. And that's a significant place for those two to be. And so we've got to wrap up here now, but we've had a fascinating discussion here with Michael St. Clair, who's an amazing astrologer from Germany. I've been very happy to have him call in today and get this information out to you, and it's very valuable. His website, again, is www.light-seeds.com. He's got two amazing books there, one called Light Seeds and one called Zen of Stars, as well as others. And I think it's important that you do your research, understand what's going on here, so we can really see where we're headed and speak to the authorities who know what they're talking about. So I want you to welcome this information with optimism. Do not be afeared. And seek out Michael's advice from his website, www.light-seeds.com. Michael, thank you so much for being on the air with me today. I look forward to speaking with you again. And thank you for your great information.
Thank you very much, sir. It's a pleasure. We'll talk soon.
Thank you so much. You're welcome. Okay, folks, thanks very much for tuning in today. This has been Turning of the Wheel. My name is Chris Fleischer. As always, be open to possibilities. Talk to you.
You've been listening to Turning of the Wheel with your host, Chris Fleischer. To schedule a reading with me or to order artwork, you may visit my website at www.chrisfleischer.com. That's www.chrisfleischer.com. Or email me, and you can call me at 508-517-0969. Thank you. And as always, be open to possibilities.